I was raised in Western Missouri and grew up listening to my parents play piano and organ at a small Baptist church. I learned to ride my bike in that church parking lot. I remember how it smelled, the building. I remember potluck dinners and quilting circles. I remember trying to save all the pine cones that I could from this ancient tree out front. And I remember when they had to cut that tree down because it was diseased, how sad that was. The roots are still there. Part of my roots are still there. I knew many of those Baptist hymns by heart, and I loved the special Sunday nights when we could come back in the evening for a hymn sing. I remember when I was learning to read and I would raise my hand and say the numbers that I recognized instead of the tunes that I recognized. The music director called this Stump the Pianist because they were often hymns that no one had sung in decades. They were not familiar. It was, you know, it was a joke. But then when I realized one of my favorites was Go Tell It on the Mountain, I would just request that year round. It didn't matter if it was Christmas or July. I wasn't really as ornery as I was adventurous and wanting to participate, I suppose. There's a St. Augustine quote that I love, "Those who sing pray twice." That embodiment of faith that happens when communities sing together is an experience like unlike any other. When I began attending UU congregation in Rockville, Maryland, about 8 years ago, it was my first exposure to Unitarian Universalism. And one of the first things that I noticed was the hymnal. After only a few Sundays, I realized that Spirit of Life was almost like a theme song, a doxology. I might even say that it's a theme song. The concepts of compassion and justice, roots and wings, are common threads throughout the UU principles, and they're reflected in the music. Then in one of my first classes in seminary, I started digging deeper into UU musical history. It became clear to me that the hymns were tied directly to the evolution of the faith tradition itself. UU music director Jason Shelton pointed out that even for a movement like Unitarian Universalism, which claims to hold no particular text as sacred more than any other, our hymn books have functioned very much like sacred scripture. The hymn book is an artistic representation of UU theology. Just as I was introduced to UUism during the first visits via the hymnal, visitors and longtime members alike can reference those hymns and readings to remind them of the Spirit of Life that runs through the faith tradition. And it isn't simply the text of the hymns themselves, but also the incorporation of music from other faith and musical traditions. A handful of familiar Christian hymns were retained through the years, even if some of the language was changed to be more inclusive. These Christian roots were strong and still are in certain congregations, but adaptation is a large part of our faith. As the two pieces, Unitarianism and Universalism, aged and developed, new hymnals signaled the growth spurts. So if you want to learn about history, one set of road signs to follow is right on your chairs. Over the 1800s, Unitarians and Universalists continued to write and rewrite, compile and recompile more than 50 hymn books. It was notably more than other denominations. Jason Shelton notes that the number of hymn books reflects both their remarkable artistic and literary productiveness, intellectual UUs, as well as their tendency toward individualism. Many of the hymnals were written by and produced by the ministers themselves for congregations. Hymns of the Spirit in 1865 still maintained the roots of a seemingly Christian God, although the language had been changed to refer to the Spirit of Life. A hymnal by the same name, Hymns of the Spirit, was produced in 1937 and became known as the first collaboration between Unitarians and Universalists. The two denominations didn't consolidate into one until 1961, but this hymn book that was a consolidation was 1937. So musically, they came together 30 years before they could denominationally. When they did, though, in 1961, what's it time for? Another hymnal. Represent the newness that coming together had created, had exposed. Hymns for the Celebration of Life in 1964 still contained classic Christian hymns, but also featured a number of American folk tunes. As congregations became more aware of the role of language in social justice and equality, the Unitarian Universalist Association's Commission on Common Worship took a bold stance in support of inclusive language, more so an active rejection of exclusive language. They reduced the hymnal from 327 hymns to 28 usable hymns, according to their inclusive language guidelines. An excerpt from the preface of this hymn book reads, "Just as in the past, Universalists removed hell and Unitarians eliminated the Trinity by recasting old hymns, this brief collection provides changes that should make many hymns more appropriate for our time." 1964. "This collection is produced in paperback form to indicate the open-ended nature of our work. We hope others will join us in the process of rewriting existing hymns, writing new words and new music to create the Unitarian Universalist hymnody that is truly inclusive." The UU wings that allow them to adapt existing theologies to fit their own sense of value provides a kind of freedom. The collection of hymns remained in flux and were eventually expanded to 51 from 28 in the 1988 hymn book. And in 1993, the gray hymn book you are holding, Singing the Living Tradition, the hymnal that is used most today in congregations, was published. Jason Shelton writes about this hymnal. "Though some smaller publications had begun to include hymns or songs from various cultures mid-century, Singing the Living Tradition was the first standard denominational hymn book to include songs from Unitarians in Eastern Europe, spirituals from African American tradition, folk and popular songs, music of major non-Christian religious traditions, and chants and rounds gathered from the various traditions around the world." This was a new signpost. A new signpost that could be opened and pages could be turned and we could continue to learn and grow and sing a living tradition. It's clear in our seven principles that social justice is a cornerstone of faith more than any sacred book or entity. UU minister Dan Harper shared an observation in a sermon on music in UU congregations compared to Christian congregations that focus more on glorifying God. He asked, "So why do we Unitarian Universalists sing in church at all? It seems to me that we sing together for the purpose of transforming ourselves and transforming the world." Our transformation stories are plenty. We are a proud tradition of movers and shakers. While I'm not sure we can claim her as a UU, Bernice Johnson Regan is one of those movers and shakers that helped shape us to this day. In 1994, Regan was awarded the Ministry to Women Award by the UUA, which honors individuals or organizations that have ministered to women in an outstanding manner. Regan is the founder of the spirited group Sweet Honey in the Rock and speaks about music as transformation. She says, "Singing is running this sound through your body. You cannot sing a song and not change your condition." One of my favorite songs performed by Sweet Honey in the Rock is Ella's Song, which has been performed at other congregations I've heard. This song refers to Ella Baker. She was a remarkable civil rights activist who's the granddaughter of a slave. And Baker was inspired by her grandmother's stories of slave revolts and used that passion to become involved in the civil rights movement through building community and organizing. Baker was highly influential beyond her death in 1986, due in part to the legacy she left behind. Bernice Johnson Regan wrote Ella's Song as a tribute to Baker by using Baker's own words from her speeches in the lyrics. "We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes." It's a powerful song that's lifted up the powerless. Another notable historical UU member of Regan's group, Sweet Honey in the Rock, is Dr. Yisei Barnwell. The story goes that Barnwell wandered in by mistake to All Souls Unitarian Church in Washington, D.C. one Sunday in 1976. And she kept attending because of the outspoken African-American minister, Reverend David Eaton, and also because of the choir. She noticed that there were a large number of black congregants in the pews, but they weren't in the choir. So she started a choir, a second choir called the Jubilee Singers, and led them in spirituals and gospel. Many accounts of working with Barnwell noted that she teaches orally. There's no written material involved. She doesn't want you to open a hymnal. She encourages members of the community to sing from their hearts and to sing together whenever they can, whether or not they consider themselves singers. "Music has the power to send out your message," she said. "It can be your shield and your sword. People underestimate the power of the human voice." And she uses those analogies because they're so empowering. She says, "I see songs as armor when you need it, and I see songs as a blessing." One Sunday morning, Barnwell was performing her first solo with the Jubilee Singers, and Bernice Johnson Regan was attending. Regan approached Barnwell and invited her to join Sweet Honey in the Rock as their bass singer, and Barnwell sang with them for the next 34 years. She ended up writing and arranging many award-winning songs for the group. Three of her songs are included in the Teal Hymnal. "We Are Our Grandmother's Prayers." We're going to open and sing that a little bit later. To bring us full circle, I wonder if you know about the writer and composer of Spirit of Life, Carolyn McDade. Among the labels she assigns to her identity, feminist and activist make the list, but not Unitarian Universalist. She prefers to associate her spiritual formation with the communities of women of which she is a part. And many of these communities happen to be UU. So it seems that the denomination has claimed her as an honorary Unitarian Universalist due to her participation and her impact on UUism as a movement. McDade never imagined Spirit of Life would have such a following. She wrote it as a poem and a prayer, but not as a hymn. And when the UUA Hymn Book Commission asked McDade if they could include it in the hymnal, she was reluctant. She said, "I thought of it as a living prayer, but not a hymn. I don't feel like a hymn writer." Out of respect for her feelings on the song, the commission listed the song in Love and Compassion instead of in the worship heading. But I think the way that we use it reveals that it is truly worshipful. Another of her songs, Come Sing a Song with Me, that we sang at the beginning of the service, has evolved in her mind and heart over time. She claims that it wasn't included in her own group songbooks for many years because it's so sweet, and I just don't like sweet songs. But years later, when she was asked to lead a music program at a women's state prison in Farmington, Massachusetts, when the prisoners sang the lyric, "I'll give you hope when hope is hard to find," she was deeply moved. She said it went from sweet to profound. Her music had a new meaning in that context for those people, and she realized it was bigger than herself. How quickly things can transform from sweet to profound, from hopeful to terrifying, from oppressive to progressive, from calm to anxious, from loneliness to fellowship and community. We're in a constant state of flux, and it's critical that we adapt. I can see that UU music has evolved alongside social justice, and many of us have tried to stay on the side of what we believe to be the right side of history, to be on the side of love. As scary as this current political climate is, I want to believe that someday we will look back with pride in the ways that we are able to gear up, put on musical armor, lock arms as we press forward together, and sing for our lives. We are a gentle, angry people, and we are singing, singing for our lives. We are a gentle, angry people, and we are singing, singing for our lives. That song was written by Holly Near in response to the murder of the gay activist Harvey Milk in 1978. What will we write in response to the injustices of our time? What will we sing in response?